So, friends, with today being our annual meeting that we hold once a year, I always like to talk about spiritual community and how it's meaningful to any of us and its importance. And so my talk title for today is Connecting, Serving, and Growing Together. And so starting off to talk a little bit about... You know, I guess that's how we connect, right? Did you guys catch that at home? Well, we bless that too, John. But that was fun. Okay, I'm done. That's it. Yeah. Oh goodness. But you know, when we talk about connecting and we think about as humanity what we have gone through over the past few years, absolutely. And I mean, we've talked about this ad infinitum. But we have gone through an unprecedented experience navigating to the other side of the pandemic. Now, this doesn't mean that there aren't still issues ongoing, but we navigated through that first and second year of the absolute unknown. What happened during that time is because of needing to be isolated, to keep ourselves apart from others initially, we kind of hunkered in, didn't we? How many of you sort of fell to that loneliness of being apart from everyone else? Now, for those of you who are introverts, you're going, yay, I like this, that's great. To a point, right? To a point. And those who are extrovert are going, oh my gosh, what do I do now? What do I do now? Okay, Zoom, oh, new technology, or not so new, but... So, but what I'm saying is, friends, is that we began, though, for ourselves to set new habits of being. And it did give us a wonderful time to turn within, if we chose to do that, to take a little time apart to do some introspection. And maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But in those learned behaviors of a sense of separation, which is still prevalent in because there are times when it is necessary, I think that we began to put up some walls that we're not even conscious of. And I would like to invite us into a recognition that we're now moving in new directions. We're stepping out once again. And it's time to begin re-engaging. And that doesn't mean to re-engage in the ways that we used to, because there were things that we learned and things that we've moved forward in. And yet, how many of you do find yourselves kind of a little reluctant because you've been so used to being at home, a little reluctant to step back out? Anybody want to raise their hand? Anybody on Facebook? Yeah. And... it's only natural. So it's understanding that. And yet, friends, spiritual community coming together with others of like mind who can be there with us and for us and support us and reflect back to us is so vitally important. And it's easy to kind of push it under the carpet. Oh, well, I really don't need that. I can do this myself. How many of you have said that? I don't need anybody else. Yeah. And it is a time to remember how wonderful it feels to take down some of those shields and those walls and to open our hearts. Oh, Susan, I'm sorry, I missed you. Were you waving your hand there? Yeah.
Wanted to say, Vicki Thompson said, raising my hand, sometimes hard to step out again.
Yeah, yeah. And so on a time with our annual meeting and talking about spiritual community, I'd like to kind of bring us back into remembering, into thinking, and not, again, not going back to necessarily what was, but to envisioning forward. What does spiritual community mean to me now? How important is it? How willing am I to step out? And in what ways work well for me? Because there's not a should and a have to in any of it. But it is an invitation to connect. And what I know for myself is that to really connect authentically, it's important first for me to connect to the presence of God within me. In Scripture, from Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And what this Scripture is speaking to us about is to remind us that God is within us, all around us, and as we enter into a stillness, when we stop all the stuff in our heads going on, and, you know, we all have the grocery lists and the person who hurt our feelings and the, oh, I've got to do this, and, you know, all that stuff going on, but take a moment to be still and connect to God and connect to self. Because when we do that, then we can release and step aside from simply that which is our personality, human egoic self, right? Don't we want to show up with bright, shiny faces? There's a song on that. I don't remember what it is. I sing it while you. But, you know, we do. We want to show up as our best. And yet, oftentimes, what we feel is our best is what's seen out here versus what's seen from within here and shared this way. So I'm thinking that it's a wonderful opportunity for us as we come back together after pandemic times to reconnect to people, to re-engage, to begin connecting to God within ourselves so that when we come together from our authentic self, from a place that says, I'm not perfect. And I would really like to connect with you and see, what do you find about yourself that isn't so perfect? And maybe we can talk about those, because then that will help me. Going on in Romans 1:11-12, it says, "For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." How many times do you get down and you sit in a little corner? I do. I get down and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, I'm supposed to use some spiritual tools and get myself out of here, you know? Yeah, we do. And what's about the last thing I think to do? Well, second to last is I finally decide to connect in spirit with God. That's always a good step. But I forget to reach out to other people because I feel embarrassed sometimes, or maybe even ashamed. Does anybody else have that? You don't have to raise your hand. But, you know, I dare say we all do at times. I should be doing better, right? Oh, don't we love those shoulds? Yeah. And so, friends, speaking about spiritual community runs deep in my heart. Because throughout even my childhood, it was so vital and important to me. And spiritual community can show up in many ways. Unity has been a part of my life, so I've been blessed with that. But spiritual community can show up in many ways. And yet here is this wonderful place for us to come together that all of you, we all have created together. So that we don't have to be separate. So that when we're kind of down or in the blues or in the dark corner, we don't stay there, but we can come and be with. And we don't have to, you know, have it all put together. We can just be with each other in a place that acknowledges and embraces. Dr. Tara Brock, she is a psychologist and an author. She says, "A spiritual path is not a solo endeavor. We are in it together, and the company of spiritual friends helps us realize our interconnectedness." And Margaret Wheatley, she is a writer, a teacher, a speaker, and consultant. She says, "When we seek for connection, we restore the world to wholeness. Our seemingly separate lives become meaningful as we discover how truly necessary we are to each other. That's powerful, friends. When we seek for connection, we restore the world to wholeness. And don't we usually think that when we're not at our best, oh, well, I better not show up because I'll be a downer for everybody, right? And yet that's the most important time for us to join together, for us to come, for us to say, oh, man, I just need a hug today. What are you going through? How are things for you? Man, I got stuff flying everywhere for me. And to know that we can do that because we come together in this kind of a spiritual community with people of like mind who want to be there for each other. And so a part also of coming together in spiritual community then is being able to serve. Because when we have connected, we have received. We've connected to God, we have received. We connect to each other, we receive. And then the natural flow, because giving and receiving is actually the Mobius strip. That's what I'm doing here. I'm not dancing to John's music because it's not on right now. But from childhood, I was always fascinated with that Mobius strip because you can, where did I go? I don't know, what, Disneyland or something. And this little car goes on this little strip and it goes like this and it goes around and it goes around and it goes around and comes back. It's infinite. There's not a starting place and there's not an ending place. And we always think giving is here and receiving is over here. And it's very hard to understand that it is all part of the same process. Because what do you feel when you give? Because you give not because you should, but when you give because, oh, you're excited and you have something for that you want to share with someone. Or, you know, what happens? We feel infilled when we give. So in the very act of giving, we're receiving. And the other side, which is oftentimes very difficult for people because we have this old notion that's absolutely incorrect. That's right, I'm saying the Bible didn't say it right. It is not better to give than to receive. They are both equally a part of the same process. And we find it difficult because there's this old pattern in our minds of, oh, I'm wonderful because I give. But what that creates is a wall that doesn't let us interconnect with each other. Because when you have something you want to share with someone and they go, oh, no, no, oh, no, no. How do you feel? You feel kind of put off. You feel closed down and sad. And when you've got this exciting thing and you go here and they go, oh, wow, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, and friends, that's how our universe is. God is limitless supply. It's everywhere present. And yet, how many times do we not receive those gifts of spirit because, A, we say we're not good enough. B, we think we can't. This process of giving and receiving is a natural part of serving. So when we come together as a community and we do connect and we get excited and we're doing things together, there's so many ways that we can serve. And sometimes it sounds kind of like an onerous thing. Oh, man, I got to sign up and serve somehow, right? Yikes. And yet we don't think about the ways we serve all the time. You know, beloved Sue DeRue stands at the door and greets people when we come into church here. Fills my heart. Her smile goes out. Fills my heart. And she is serving in such a beautiful way. Your board of trustees who work throughout the year holding prayerful space for this spiritual community to become and to grow and to manifest. Beloved Susan, whew, that woman's, it's appropriate that her first name starts with an S, and it's a great big capital S because she serves in untold ways. And Kevin and John. And when we stop to think, and I'm going to ask for people on Facebook and you here, think of some of the ways that you serve, and then just shout it out. Like, what about offering a hug? Sudarus does that. What about somewhere else where you offer a hug? What about when you open the door for somebody who's having a difficult time getting through is at the grocery store?
Tim and Alejandro doing fellowship food.
Yes, Tim and Alejandro.
Big service.
Because they love it. And they wouldn't even think of it as service exactly.
Right.
But because they're receiving, they feel, see, Tim's back there going, yeah, I receive more than I give.
That's right. So, you receive more than you give.
Yeah.
The kids program.
Yeah. And, you know, Patty and Martha and Brandy, who show up because they care, because they want to. And they connect with our youth. But think about your everyday life, too. In the workplace, at home. What about, we don't think of it as being of service to our pets. But we are. And guess what? They're of service to us, too, aren't they? Well, my kitty cat, who sat on my head half of last night and didn't want to go to sleep and was going like this. That wasn't the best of service, but you know what? I knew I was loved. So what are some other ways? There are other ways, like caring for the planet, right? And the ways that we do that, and upcoming pretty soon, I think we have Earth Day and Arbor Day, and we can serve in that way. So we can serve by saying a prayer for someone. And we don't always think of all the ways, but when we come together in spiritual community, and then we have fellowship after church, or you at home who are with us via our Facebook and live streaming, you can post comments so that we connect that way, and that is a service to each other. And we can share in ideas and what we want to do and how we want to go out into the world and make a difference, because it can be local or it can be worldwide. In scripture from Galatians 6:10, it says, "So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all." And Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works." Isn't it kind of more fun, you know, than pulling weeds out in the lawn all by yourself, but and then when a whole bunch of people come and, oh, yeah, this is, you know, when you talk and you have a good time, just like our spring cleanup Tim was talking about. And from Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, this isn't talking about a God outside of ourselves. I always like to kind of talk about Scripture in a little way, a little different way. It says, "For we are his workmanship." In other words, we are created in the design and image of the allness of God, which is both giving and receiving. And in that Christ consciousness, we have that capacity for good works. And it says God prepared beforehand, but the whole world, the whole universe, is an opportunity for all of us to participate and walk in those things and the ways that we decide to serve. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." Wow. We don't have to study to give and to serve. And Charles Fillmore, who was one of Unity's founders, said, "The value of all service lies in the spirit in which you serve, and not in the importance or magnitude of the service, friends." That handshake you reach out to somebody, the hug you give, the prayer that you send. Even the lowliest task or deed is made holy, joyous, and prosperous when it is filled with love. So as we consider being part of spiritual community and serving, you know, and as we begin to re-engage with each other, to show up more, to participate, to make a choice of how we will show up and serve, We can be touched by so many opportunities that infill us and bless us. Jean Vanier, who wrote Community and Growth, he was a philosopher and a theologian. He says, from his book, Community and Growth, he says, one of the marvelous things about community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way that we couldn't as individuals. When we pool our strength and share the work and responsibility, we can welcome many people and perhaps help them find self-confidence and inner healing. Friends, how wonderful to come together, to reconnect, to be part of a greater wholeness. Connecting together in spiritual community enriches everyone's lives, friends. It enriches all of our lives. And so as we come together in spiritual community, as we begin engaging in the ways that we choose to serve, whether individually and on our own or in a group or in a broader global scale, we begin to realize the gift we receive is the gift of growing. Because when we're all on our own, we can kind of think we're doing the work, and oftentimes we are. But it's really helpful to have a mirror for those times when we're kind of sliding and we miss. We miss what we miss, right? That's it. Wayne Muller, who is a minister and a therapist, and he is founder of Bread for the Journey. He does amazing work for homeless and for people around the world. He says, "We are called to be strong companions and clear mirrors to one another, to seek those who reflect with compassion and a keen eye how we are doing, whether we seem centered or off course. We need the nourishing company of others to create the circle needed for growth, freedom, and healing." So friends, again, this requires our willingness to be vulnerable to each other. And that requires coming with our authentic self. That requires connecting to God within and then showing up and being present with everyone else. And Mitsugi Seotome, he said, "We must discover the joy of each other, the joy of challenge, the joy of growth." So how often have you been in an organization or in a church or something, and they're forming teams or committees, and you go, "Okay, I'll serve on that one," and then someone else raises their hand and you go, "Oh, but I want to do it if they're going to serve on that team." Am I the only one who's done that? No, I don't think so. We all have those little things of oh, not them. And yet, when I was in seminary and ministerial school, that would always happen. It's you're supposed to get into threes. And of course, the other two people I was connected up with, I'm like, "Oh, do I have to do this with them?" Yeah. And yet what would happen is, the reason was, they triggered my stuff. I couldn't hide. And they triggered my stuff. But once I was willing to then recognize this, I made the best friends. Because I took down the walls I had up. And I began to see them differently. And I began to, all the false ideas I had created around them, my belief systems, began to crumble. So that's why it's so important that we do come together in community, why we share, why we show up to the degree that we're able to, and why we work in teams and create things to do that make our hearts sing with joy. In scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." And 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What should be done then, my friends? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue," in other words, a wisdom, "or an interpretation." And then it says, "Let all things be done for building up." So friends, I just invite us in going forward as Unity of Michiana, as this wonderful spiritual center where we can come together, where we are not all alike each other, but where we have a common bond of interest in our spiritual growing and in our connecting and in our making a difference in the world, let us recognize that it helps when we show up. It helps when we are present. And those of you who watch via Facebook at home, show up in the ways that you do also. Because this is what's wonderful about new technology. And we're grateful for all of us who contribute to the vibrancy of this spiritual center. Let us go forward in that awareness. Let us make choices to be with each other in the ways that we can be. And so in closing, I will share a quote from Henri Nouwen, many of you know, priest, professor, writer, theologian. Community is first of all a quality of the heart. It grows from the spiritual knowledge that we are alive not only for ourselves, but for one another. So as we go into our meeting later on, right after this service closes, let us engage with each other as community, knowing that we create this experience and what we have here. It is ours to do.